I'd like to welcome you to the September 24th meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission. The purpose of the commission is to provide for the protection, enhancement, perpetuation, and use of areas having a special historical culture or aesthetic interest or value in order to promote the health, prosperity, and general welfare of the people. The preservation of this heritage is of basic and vital importance for the development and maintenance of the community's tourism, its culture, and for the protection of property values because of our association with history. This commission is appointed by the City Council and is not affiliated with any for-profit or non-profit organizations. Preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards, as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance, are used by the commission to determine the compatibility of proposed changes and new development visibility from the public right-of-way, including streets, lanes, and sidewalks within the Savannah local historic and conservation districts. The commission cannot consider criteria not specifically identified within the ordinance. Items such as land use, landscaping, parking availability, traffic, noise, impact on property values, and interior arrangement of structures are not within the commission's purview and cannot be a factor in the issuance or denial of a certificate of appropriateness. Similarly, personal preferences will not be used as basis for decisions. Please turn off all cell phones. Signposting. Members of the commission receive an electronic agenda the week before the meeting and individually visit the sites of the projects. If a project is not properly posted, it is removed from the agenda and rescheduled. Were any projects not properly posted? Okay, hearing none, we will now go on to the consent agenda. These agenda items have been found by the preservation officer to be in accordance with the preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards, and have apparent consensus with no known objections from the public. Is there any member of the public or a commissioner who wishes to remove an item from the consent agenda to the irregular agenda? Okay, hearing none, we will go on to the motion for the approval of the consent agenda.
Katrina Horning, a motion that we approve the consent agenda.
Kathy Levine, a second.
Hearing a motion tendered and properly seconded, we will go and ask for a vote. Start with Courtney.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Kathy Levine, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Jeff Notrika, approved. Motion carries. Next, we will go to the adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to adopt the June 25th, 2025 HPC agenda?
Pat Richardson, I'll offer a motion.
September. My apologies. September 25th.
I'll offer a motion that we approve the agenda for, what is it, August? September?
September.
September 24th.
Katrina Horner, a second.
Having a motion tendered and properly seconded, let's go for a vote. We'll start with Pam.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Kathy Levine, approve.
Katrina Horner, approve.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Jeff Gentrica, approve. Motion carries. Approval of the minutes of the previous meeting. Minutes from the previous meeting are attached to the agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes of the previous meeting? If there are not, I'd like to request a motion.
Kathy Levine, I move to approve the August 27th, 2025 Historic Preservation Commission meeting minutes as presented.
Scott Krotzer, I second.
Having the motion offered and seconded, let's go for a vote. We'll start with Pat.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Kathy Levine, approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Jeff Notrika, approve. Motion carries. Items requested to remove from the final agenda. Are there any items listed as for a motion to approve the final agenda? Nothing to remove, so we are good there. Are there any items that have been continued deferred to the next meeting or date certain or that staff has determined incomplete at this time?
Yeah, all the continued ones are listed below.
Okay, if there's no comments to those, can I get a motion to approve those?
Katrina Hornung, I motion to approve the continued agenda items.
Kathy Levine, a second.
Having a motion tendered and seconded, I'd like to go for a vote. We'll start with Courtney.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Katrina Hornung, approve.
Kathy Levine, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Jeff Notrico, approve. Motion carries. Are there any requests for extensions? No. Okay, let's see here. So there are none. We will get to the regular agenda. Starting with the first item, petition of Your Exterior Pros, Beth Barrows, 25-002814 COA, 1215 Java Place, windows and siding.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Caitlin Chamberlain presenting the project. The applicant's requesting approval of in-kind repairs for the deteriorated windows and in-kind replacement of select areas of siding on the property at 1215 Java Place. Just a little context, 1215 Java Place was built in 1910, and it's a contributing resource. It was originally known as 1209 Houston Street. It also has a former porch that's since been enclosed, so you'll notice this before picture and the after current situation. There's a few different types of siding on the building because of these slight changes over time. So just for the project history, y'all saw this last month and the month before. So for this one, the result of the August 27th meeting was to continue this request to a date no later than the October 22nd meeting to allow the applicant time to prepare and provide an inventory of each window to determine which ones can be repaired rather than replaced, focusing on the main facade of the house. The applicant has since reevaluated the situation and has now determined that they will repair them all with none proposed for replacement. And this is true for the siding. There will only be replacement in areas where wood is rotted beyond repair. And you probably saw in the submittal packet there were many more photos, but just to kind of show a few areas here. And then this letter of intent that they are changing to repairs only from Your Exterior Pros. So with that, just getting into, Secretary of the Interior Standard 6, there are multiple areas on the exterior where the siding is rotted and deteriorated and where replacement will be necessary. This is not a complete replacement, but rather in areas where needed. And for the windows, the applicant stated there's water infiltration and issues with the operability and general wear on most windows, so they will repair rather than replace, and thus the standard is met. So with that, staff recommends to approve the request for in-kind siding replacement and window repairs as requested because the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. Thank you.
Thank you. Board members, any questions, staff? Okay, hearing none, is the petitioner here?
It might be Beth Barrows or Sam Dolan online.
Hello?
I don't see anyone. What's her first name again?
Beth Barrows or Sam Dolan?
Nope.
We do have the property owner if you had any questions, or I think we're pretty straightforward. But
would the property owner like to come speak?
Want to say anything?
Okay. Are there any questions? We don't have any public comment cards.
So I guess I just have one question, Mr. Chair.
Sure.
Sometimes you do a resubmittal, but the letter's enough in this case?
Yes.
Okay.
Because this is kind of based on what was requested last time.
And instead of, you know, we did want to see kind of that breakdown a little further. I think they reassessed and said, we're just going to go all in on repairs. So we said, just send the letter stating this because we've already seen the conditions of the windows.
Okay. I'd say at this point, we'll go ahead and close this to public comment. We'll go to board discussion. Each member will have an opportunity to speak. We'll start with Courtney.
I agree with staff. No other comments.
Scott Krotzer, I agree with staff and I commend the owner for repair. No other comment.
Katrina Horner, no comment.
Kathy Labina, bravo to the owner. Thank you.
That would just say no comment.
Great. Can I get a motion from a member of the board?
Kathy Labina, I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of 1215 Java Place 25-002814-COA, Your Exterior Pros for Rehabilitation and Alterations as submitted, because the petition is in compliance with visual compatibility criteria standards set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance.
Pat Richardson, a second.
Great. Having a motion offered and seconded, I would like to go ahead and go to a vote. We'll start with Pat.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Kathy Labina, approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Jeff Notrika, I also approve. Motion carries. We will go on to item number 12, petition of Sawyer Design, 25-003139-COA, 217 East Park Avenue, new construction, small, part two.
Afternoon, this is Kelly Mitchell. Again, the applicants request an approval of new construction, small, part two design details for a two-story primary building and a two-story secondary building at 217 East Park. This project was previously heard back at the July 23rd, 2025 HPC meeting. At that meeting, part one was approved with some conditions. Before we go into what those conditions were, I just want to talk about how it's changed. Some minor changes have been made since the previous meeting. So on the front facade, you see slightly larger windows on the second story. The head height on those increased from 8 feet to 9 feet. You also see some transoms over these doors. On the left elevation, you'll see the addition of one window, and then one window was enlarged in size, and then some transoms were added on the doors on the porch on the right elevation. Nothing appeared to have changed on the rear, and then with the accessory dwelling unit, a single window was added on the lane facing elevation as well as on the elevation facing the home, and also the transom was added as well. So that's all kind of like the major changes that were made. So with that, at the past meeting, the commission voted, stated that the applicant should add one additional window on the lane facing elevation of the ADU. This was added, it was also added again on the house facing side. Staff found that standard was met, but would recommend that these windows be more evenly spaced to make them a little bit more symmetrical in design. The applicant needed to confirm the transparency standard on this left elevation on the first floor. The applicant did provide this information. Currently, it's at about 15%. Again, the maximum in this case is 25 due to building code. We do not require a special exception in this case because building code trumps our code in this case. But staff did find this overall transparency to meet the standards. And there was a condition to provide materials for some portions of this project. All those were provided and listed out in the staff report for y'all's review. The overall height of the fence is 6 feet, and the HVAC will not be visible from Park Avenue due to the proposed fencing. And then the final kind of condition was that the front porch be pulled into the property and be in line with the front property line. Based on the provided information, the building does not appear to be shifted back at all, and it's in the same position that it was previously. In the image on the right, you see two lines. The red line represents the front corner for the front porches, where the green line represents the front corners for the main homes. This kind of shows that these homes are in line with each other. Staff did find it to be visually compatible because they read as one continuous line. And we believe that the property was pulled into the site, that this will kind of impact that visual line that was created. So with that, there are two kind of more minor things of note with this project. One is that the eaves on the porches are at 10 inches. They need to be 12 per ordinance. Applicant is willing to do that. That just needs to be shown on the plans. The other kind of portion of this is had to do with the porch and the eaves on the left elevation. per the ordinance, front porches have to be a minimum of 3 feet from the front property line. This is currently over the property line. So they will need to talk to development services about whether or not a variance would be necessary. An encroachment permit would be needed, though, from development services if it's retained in the public right-of-way. And the eave also encroaches in on the side setback, so the applicant will need to talk to development services to determine if that variance is necessary. So with that, staff does recommend approval of the proposed design with the conditions that you see on the screen. With that, does the commission have any questions?
Are there any questions of the board?
Kathy Levina, I have a question. We had spoken previous about whether or not they needed to provide a brick and mortar sample.
That was not provided by the applicant.
But I know we had that discussion. Are we still going to require it?
It wasn't, as far as I remember, it wasn't part of the conditions. So there's a difference. If it's discussed but not in the conditions, we technically can't enforce it, that the applicant could have brought materials in.
I've just seen a lot of really bad mortar lately.
Yeah. Anything else?
Okay, hearing any other questions of the petitioner here?
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is John Leonard with Sawyer Design, representing the Park Avenue house. Thank you again for the review. And yeah, we agree with all of the comments and have no issues adjusting to the staff's recommendations. The moving of the windows on the back, I don't think we'll get them exactly symmetrical, but we can get them further apart without having to move any interior walls. So I don't see that being too much of an issue. Adjusting to the 12-inch eaves versus a 10, that's just a matter of working through the details. So that's not an issue either. Outside of that, if there are any questions, there was the one thing about the mortar. We do note the mortar and the brick type in the drawings, and it's the same stuff that everyone's using in town. So it's nothing out of the ordinary or exotic in any way. But if you guys have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them for you.
I've got a quick question. On the carriage house, that exterior elevation facing the lane, it shows that, the elevation looks like there's a step. Are those ramps or what? I don't understand that step.
Steps by the doors or under the garages?
The garage doors.
Oh, that's just to show the actual height of the finished garage floor.
All right, so you're going to have ramps.
Yeah. And actually, we'll end up tape between ramps or tapering up the grade there.
What happened?
That's just so we can align it back with the wall details and we can make sure the contractor does what he's supposed to.
Gotcha. And I would just, this is personal preference, of course, but I would have a discussion maybe with the owner about doing some sort of carriage house garage doors versus a flat panel. I don't know. If it were me.
No, I would agree. It would be nice to have a little bit more movement on those doors, but unfortunately, I'm not the one writing the checks. Thanks.
Any other questions, board members? Okay, hearing none. We don't have any public comment cards, so we'll go ahead and close this to public discussion and go into internal board discussion. We'll start with Pat.
Pat Richardson, no comment.
No comment.
Katrina Hornung, I agree with staff recommendations.
Scott Krotzer, the design is great. I agree with staff recommendations.
Courtney Bonney, no comment.
Okay, great. Having no real discussion internally about this, can I go ahead and get a motion?
Katrina Hornung, I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Sawyer Design, 217 East Park Avenue, 25-003139-COA, as submitted with staff recommendations, staff conditions 1 through 3, because the petition is in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance.
Scott Krotzer, I second.
Great. Having a motion properly and second, let's go to vote. We'll start with Courtney.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Katrina Hornung, approve.
Kathy Levine, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Jeff Petrico approve. Motion carries. We will go on to the next item, 22, petition of Patrick Shea, 25-004313 COA, 537 East Henry Street. Rehabilitation, alterations, and special exception request.
Afternoon, this is Kelly again. So again, the applicant is proposing a rehabilitation and alteration work as along with a special exception request from the fencing and wall standards for the property located at 536 East Henry Street. So this is the current library that was built as a library and is still currently used as a library. It's part of the Live Oaks public library system and is currently owned by the city of Savannah, making it a governmental building. The building can also be considered as an institution of higher learning, given that it's used as a library. With that, this building is considered a monumental building, and only the visual compatibility standards, as well as the standards for the mechanical equipment, refuge, parking and pavement, and fences and walls will apply. The staff also applied the Secretary of Interior standards because this is a contributing building. So the history of the Carnegie Library begins around the turn of the 20th century. In February of 1906, the Colored Library Association of Savannah, which spearheaded spearheaded the designs project, was established. The land for the library was purchased in May of 1913. The building was completed in 1914. The library opened on August 14th of that year with about 3,000 books. The image you see right here shows the building in a newspaper article also from 1914. The library joined the Savannah Public Library System in 1963 with desegregation. By 2000, the structure had fallen into disrepair and had temporarily closed. A capital campaign began in 2001, and we'll see the rehabilitation of the structure, as well as the addition of two winged additions, which you see in this photo right here. So the applicant again is requesting another rehabilitation of the structure. On the front facade, the applicant intends to remove the existing ADA ramp that is not visible from the street view as it's behind these bushes. Due to the removal of the ramp, the door that's also in this area will also be removed as it will no longer be necessary. The applicant intends to add some storefront windows in that area to mimic what's seen over here. The applicant also intends to add a door within this portion of the addition, again, seen over here, that is for proposed egress stairs. Staff found that both openings were visually compatible. With regards to the egress stairs, you typically don't see such stairs on the front facade, but in this case, staff found it to be appropriate because this wing is so far pulled back from the main facade, this kind of will blend in with that portion of the addition. The only thing that staff asked is for post materials for the stairs as well. The final portion of work that will take place on the front facade is an enclosure of these two areas that are located under the stairs. That needs to be done to allow for some drainage on the site because the site tends to flood during heavy rains. In this case, staff found the work to be compatible because the work is rather minimal and will not impact the historic integrity of the building. Some work is also being proposed on the rear facade, chiefly the alteration of this door right here, which currently exists. It's kind of being shifted over, and then the installation of a new egress door as well. Staff found this to be compatible because it's on the rear of the building, and these obviously are those newer additions that were constructed in the early 2000s, so staff found this to be appropriate. The final part of this project is the construction of the new fence. The fence is shown right here. Overall, staff found that met the standards. Only standards it did not meet was for height. It's about 5'2". It's also not going to be 5 feet from these two neighboring buildings. So the applicant did apply for a special exception request. Staff found that those requirements were met in this case. The portions that it will be less than 5 feet from the neighboring buildings is rather minimal, as it won't go all the way down the side property line. Also, the fence itself is meant to help with flooding. Again, East Henry tends to flood a lot during heavy rains. So the goal of the fence is to help kind of direct the water away from the structure and to protect it during those heavy rains. And also the fence will also be in scale with the building as a whole. So with that, staff does recommend approval of the work with the conditions that you see on the screen. And staff also recommends approval of both special exception requests. With that, does the board have any questions?
Board members, any questions for staff? Okay, hearing none, can we hear from the petitioner?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. I'm Patrick Shea. I'm Senior Principal with GM Shea Architects, and I'm joined here today by Meredith Stone, who's the design project leader for this particular project. Before I address the concerns of staff, I'd like for Meredith to give you a very brief outline of how we got here and where we may be going.
Sure. Thank you, Pat. Pleasure to see all of you here today. We're really excited to be here because this is an opportunity to make a cultural resource in Savannah more resilient and also give it new life and new purpose and keep it operating for the next several generations to come. When the Carnegie Library was founded, it was founded by the Carnegie Library, or it was founded by the Colored Library Association in 1903. They provided capital funds and all the resources to get Andrew Carnegie to invest in it, and it was built in 1905 or 1915. Since then, my own family has been attending the Carnegie. It's my dad used to walk to it from his house every day in order to get, at that time, what was considered special, separate but equal education. And so our goal is to take this library, enhance the exterior, but also the interior, to bring it up to 21st century standards and to continue to keep our Savannah children literate. So that being said, I think it's really awesome that y'all are hearing us today. And Pat, do you have anything else to add?
I do.
Okay.
Well, thanks. The reason that this was so urgent was last year when the Hurricane Helene came through, the building was drowned. It was drowned because there's a river of water that comes down the hill on Henry Street. And we made a lot of the improvements that are necessary in order to make the building, I think the current terminology is to make it more resilient. I would say it's to make it drier. The drawing that you see on the screen doesn't fully depict the fact that the lowest level of the building is actually about 3.5 feet below grade. And the additions that were made a generation ago when I was a county commissioner included a handicap ramp that went down to that lower level, but it also was a perfect funnel for all that water and let it right in the door, and it drowned the building over and over again. So we're in the process of fixing all that. We want to do it in a way that's absolutely as authentic as possible. This is a fantastic resource in Savannah's cultural history, and we're trying to be as careful and as respectful as we possibly can. The material for the egress stairs is steel. And we've tried to make it as unobtrusive as possible, but it is absolutely needed so that the second floor, the upper level, can have a second means of egress. The windows are going to be fully refurbished. Stephen Merriman is working on that now. Actually, I think Stephen Merriman's more than done. We're getting ready to reinstall those windows. So none of the windows had to be replaced or replicated. They will all be fully refurbished, and they're beautiful old windows. So we're looking forward to seeing that day. The historic lighting will not be replaced. We are going to clean the glass and change the lamps and leave the lighting the way that it is. And we're also available to answer any other questions that you might have in regards to the project, but we would hope for your approval today.
So thank you. I don't have any public comment cards, so this time we will go ahead. Are there any questions of staff, actually, first before we wrap up?
I have one, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Shea, for the presentation. I agree this building is really obsessional. It's part of the Library of Congress as well because it's been drawn and documented, so I appreciate the care you guys are putting towards it. The only question I had is, were there studies about putting the egress on the back of the building since it is the front facade?
Yes, there were, and unfortunately, the back of the building is the only place where we can have the handicapped parking off the lane, and we're just scrunched right tight up against it. So in order to provide the required separation distance, we had to have it off of the front. So yes, we did, and no, it weren't possible.
Thank you.
Catherine Labina, go ahead. Just a quick question. Where you're infilling the doors on the front facade, is that infill with brick that matches the existing? Is it set back, or how are you treating that? I can see it in the plans.
It's got kind of a band that goes around it that's pushed forward, and the brick is that we're putting back, which is very similar to what's there, but not identical because it's 110 years old. Also slightly recessed. So
recessed, yeah.
You'll still be able to read the fact that that was once a door opening, but that was also one of the main culprits for the flooding. I mean, it was really just... It was bad.
I'm sure. I just wanted to make sure it was set back. Thank you.
Same.
Katrina, to go along, I guess, with that question, the gates that are there currently, are they original? Will you be retaining them? Is there any plan for those?
They're not original, and we are going to work around them to the extent that we can. So the idea is that we want to be able to create some safe havens, maybe like outdoor classrooms almost on the sides. We're doing everything that we can to save the existing maple trees. Probably weren't the right choice at the time, but they're a goodly 20 years old now to be able to do that. So we wanted to have that area, you know, sort of fenced off, but also have it be like a lot of things in Savannah where you can look through the gate and say, gee, I sure would like to go in there. And for many hours during the day, you'll be able to go in there. But we want to make sure we can close it off at night. I'm not going to sit here and promise you that we're going to keep the gate exactly the way it is.
Right.
It's not historic.
And then, so the fence that you're proposing to go in front now, is there a reason why you chose to use a brick with the fence on top as opposed to keeping it, you know, fully transparent?
Yeah, thank you for asking that question. The river of water that comes down Henry Street and along that sidewalk, and I'm not exaggerating. It's a river.
I lived across the park from this building, so I'm fully aware.
Because the area of the site is lower than the sidewalk, it just comes down and washes right over the site. So we deliberately made the bottom of the fence not just opaque but solid, so that it would help that water to continue on its way down the street. And we're also working with the city to install extensive storm sewer in the front and in the back of the building, extending storm sewer all the way down the lane where it has not existed before. So it will also provide, to those that want to take advantage of it, relief to the neighbors for some of the storm water that they're experiencing.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other questions, board members, for Pat? Thank you, Pat. At this point, we'll go ahead and close this to public comment, and we'll have board discussion. We'll start with Pat. Any questions, comments?
I agree with staff recommendations, and I want to commend you on taking the time and effort to restore one of the significant buildings for the African-American community, because so many of the buildings are just being torn down or people just aren't taking into consideration the significance of it in that area of our history. So thank you for that.
Yeah, if I may, Mr. Chairman, speak to that. When I was a county commissioner and this building was proposed to be put on a SPLOST ballot, one of the first in Chatham County's history, W.W. Law came to our county commission meeting and gave the best three-minute speech I ever heard in my life, telling us why we had to save this building. So that's another part of its history, interestingly enough. But yes, we couldn't agree with you more. And of course, with Meredith's family history, we're especially invested. Thank you.
I grew up in Woodville, and people in my neighborhood would walk all the way into town just to go to the library. There was no way else for them to get their education, the formal educational materials and stuff. So this means a lot.
Yeah, we heard a testimonial from Edna Jackson, who lived in Frogtown at that time, and walked all the way across the library and told me something that I was shocked to hear. She had to walk around Forsyth Park because black folk weren't allowed to walk through Forsyth Park.
Exactly.
That blew my mind. I'm still recovering from that.
Levina, no further questions.
Katrina Horning, just want to thank you guys again. This is obviously a very important building in Savannah, and, you know, it's wonderful to see the restoration and the, you know, the thought of resilience looking forward to the future.
Scott Kratzer, I agree with staff, and no further comment other than the commending of your project and the fact that this commission will probably have to review more and more when it comes to stormwater damage with climate change. So I appreciate that you guys are looking forward in time to that as well.
Courtney, Bonnie, no additional comments other than just really happy to see this one getting taken care of.
Thank you. Can I get a motion from a board member?
Katrina Hornung. All right. Give me 1 second. Hold on, sir. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Patrick Shea, 537 East Henry Street, 25-004313-COA, with staff recommendations 1 through 3 and the approval of the special exemption request from the standards that read fence or walls no more than 36 inches in height may be installed within the front yard. Because the petition is otherwise in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance.
Scott Kratzer, I second.
Having a motion proffered and second, I'd like to go to a vote. Let's start with Courtney.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Scott Kratzer, approve.
Katrina Hornung, approve.
Kathleen Levine, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Jeff Notrika, approve. This project passes. I'm very excited. Congratulations. Great job.
Thank you. On behalf of the Live Oak Public Library System, we thank you all for your support.
Thank you. On to item 23, petition of Homestead Architecture, Gretchen Calejas, 25-004314, COA, 222-224, West Anderson Street, new construction, multifamily.
Good afternoon, Jody Brown presenting this project. The proposed project will be located on two vacant lots east of Jefferson Street, north of Anderson, and south of Henry Lane. Based on 1950 Sanborn maps, there was a two-story single-family home at the southeast corner of the lot, and both of the lots were one lot at the time. At the northern portion of the lot was a one-story concrete block building used for furniture repair. By 1974, it appears that the house had been removed and the concrete block building in the rear had been removed by 2012, and the parcels have been vacant since that time. These vacant lots are located within the Victorian Historic District, and the surrounding area has a variety of housing types, including single family and multifamily from 1 story to 4 stories. The majority of the buildings appear to be 2 story, though. Buildings are clad in wood siding, stucco, and asbestos siding, and the majority of the roof shapes appear to be hip with some gables. Along Montgomery Street, which is also included in the district, there are several non-contributing buildings that feature a flat roof with a parapet, and at the corner of Henry and Jefferson Street, there is a contributing resource with a flat roof. The applicant proposes to construct 7 residential units, 2 double two-family dwellings facing West Anderson Street, and a two-family dwelling paired with a single-family unit facing Jefferson Street. The project would also include a surface parking area for 8 spots along West Henry Lane. The design of the units would include 2 stories on a raised foundation with a step parapet and metal coping. The exterior would be clad in stucco and smooth hardy plank siding with a 5-inch exposure. The raised foundation would be stuccoed with a Velcro fenestration. The raised foundation would be stuccoed with a Velcro. Fenestration would be 4 light, clad casement windows with a sill and lintel that stands proud of the wall plane on both the fiber cement and the stucco. Doors would be clad with the upper 2/3 of the door featuring a fixed 4-light window with a lower 1/3 solid and a recessed panel. Entrances on the lower units would be accessed via 3 steps with a metal railing. Each stoop is covered by a standing seam metal roof, clad roof, supported by simply decorative columns. The upper units would be accessed via a wood stair with metal railing capped by a wood top. Pickets on the railing would be horizontal. Similar to the lower units, the upper units would be entrances would be covered with an SSM, a standing seam metal roof. Staff recommends approval of the project located at 222-224 West Anderson with the following conditions: that the score lines are eliminated from the stucco surface, that the stucco finish slash texture is clarified on the plans, that the site plan indicates the location and material of the private sidewalk to the stoop from the public sidewalk, and the refuse storage area is enclosed to screen it from the public right away. The applicant has provided revised plans addressing these conditions, but they came in a little late for our staff reports, and I believe they're here to present. There they are. They're here to present their project, the revised plans. Thank you. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions of staff?
Pat Richardson. So the revised plans that we see in the agenda are not the revised plans you are referencing?
There are revised plans that were on the agenda. They were titled revised plans.
Okay.
But the ones that I'm showing in my PowerPoint are the ones that they submitted at the time initially they submitted, yes.
Any other questions, board members? Okay, hearing none, can we hear from the petitioner?
Your plans.
Hi, my name is Gretchen Callejas, and I'm with Homestead Architecture. And we address the conditions, and I'm happy to address any questions. Did you want me to talk about the trash receptacles? Okay, I don't want to be a pain. The trash receptacles, we do have screening from Jefferson. But as I was studying it and I was walking around the Victorian district and I was trying to find a way to create an enclosure for the trash cans that would last time. The problem is they'll be renters, and so if I put gates, I know the gates won't get, they'll break and they'll be open most of the time, and the trash people won't close it. And so the only thing we did was we tried to push it back as much as we could from the lane and then create screening on both sides. But I'm asking that we don't have to put it in a total enclosure. You can only see it from the lane, which is considered the public right of way, but to me, that's a service utility. And I did not find any examples where they were enclosed. They're mostly just throughout the lane. But I'm happy to address it another way. Does anyone have any questions?
Any questions, board members? Okay.
Sorry. I was smoking.
Go ahead, Kathy.
I've got a sort of a weird question, but I can't really see it in the plans, or I don't know if it's depicted correctly in the plans. On the West Anderson Street elevation?
Yes.
The windows were with the cladding?
Yeah.
Clad siding, the first floor window, doesn't appear to be the same length as the windows on the first floor in the stucco. Am I reading that wrong or is that correct?
I don't know. Hold on. West Anderson. It does seem a little shorter. I think the head height's the same. Let me see something though. Sorry.
It just looks a little consistent. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
It's the same size?
No, you're right. It's a little shorter. Let me try like 4 inches maybe. You want us to lower it?
I would like
or
that. Yes.
Lower it make the other one higher?
I would like the
same.
Windows to be the same. And I think the one that you would like to go would be to go with is the one in the stucco, the height of the stucco window.
Yeah.
Yeah, the longer one. Thank you.
I don't see any reason that can't happen. But.
Okay, any other comments from board members? Thank you. Hearing none, we will close this to public comments as we have no public comment cards, and we'll go into board discussion. We'll start with Pat.
Pat Richardson, I agree with staff recommendations and Kathy's where the windows are actually more balanced and insensate with the longer windows.
Kathy Labina, I agree with staff, and the windows, I would interpret that on all facades. Right. Okay. Thank you.
Katrina Horning, I agree with Kathy's comments about the windows.
Scott Krotzer, I agree with the comments from the commission and the staff suggestions.
Courtney Bonney, no additional comments.
Great, thank you. At this point, can I get a motion from a board member?
If you can pull it up. Kathy Levina, I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Homestead Architecture, petition number 25-004314-COA 222-224 West Anderson Street, with the following conditions listed. I'm just going to say 1 through 4, with an additional condition that the windows on the first floor be consistent in height on all facades, because the petition is otherwise in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance.
Pat Richardson, a second.
Having a motion properly and second, we'll go to a vote. Let's start with Courtney.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Kathy Levine, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Jeff Ventrico, approve. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Now we go to item number 24, the petition of Ray Ellis and LeBray Consulting. Ryan LeBray, 25-004304, COA, various addresses, window replacement.
Apologies. I can't see, so I have to put my glasses on. Jody Brown again. So this is, the applicant is proposing to repair 14 windows on 13 properties. Repairs include sills, rails, meeting rails, and trim boards. Other windows at these sites were made operable without the need to replace materials and elements. The applicant will replicate the window elements by removing a viable portion of the existing window and milling a new member to replace the deteriorated one. The current properties requiring repair, so that's on record, is 108 East Duffy Street, 201 through 203 East Park Street, 208 through 214 West Anderson, 220 East Henry Lane, 302 through 304 East Anderson Street, 315 through 317 East Wahlberg Street, 501 through 503 East Duffy, 508 East Anderson, 1011 Habersham, 1017 Habersham, 1208 through 1210 Price, 1302 Price, and 1401 through 1411 Lincoln Street. These properties are part of the Savannah Neighborhood Action Project, SNAP, which is a 233-unit affordable community scattered among 55 buildings located within the Victorian Local Historic District. Most of the buildings were constructed at the turn of the 19th century as single-family homes. In 1983, these buildings were renovated into SNAP and consisted of three phases of construction. Phases 1 and 2 consisted of 49 buildings that were converted to affordable housing, and phase 3 consisted of 6 buildings constructed in 83 within the district. Staff recommends approval of the replacement of select window components to repair the overall window at various addresses, as noted, within the Victorian district as requested. And these are some samples of the windows. When you look through, on the left, you can see the deteriorated sill. Sorry, they're kind of oriented funny. And then on the right is, it was discussed earlier during the pre-meeting, they have already been done, is the completed sill. On this window is trim board missing. And then how they took the original trim board out and milled it to match and installed it again. And here is one where the meeting rail had fallen off and they repaired them, they replaced the meeting rail and installed it in the original window. And this is staff recommendation, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions, board members or staff? Okay, hearing none, is the petitioner here?
Is he online? Brian LeBrie?
Yeah, he is.
Petitioner, would you like to comment?
Sure. Just wanted to say we initially started to make these windows. Oh, sorry. My name is Brian Labrie, and I'm of Rayalis and Labrie Consulting, the consultant and applicant for the COA. And, you know, initially we wanted to make sure these windows were operable for egress reasons, because these are apartments. And when we started going through and getting them unstuck from layers of paint, and we looked at roughly 400 windows, and we had 15 that needed, you know, repair, which I think is pretty good evidence of why wood windows are awesome. So any questions?
Board members, any questions?
Mr. Chair, I have just one. I just ask that this is moving forward. While they did great repair, that they are not doing after-the-fact COAs for these projects.
Duly noted. Any other questions? Okay, thank you. We have no public comments, so I'll go ahead at this time and close this to public input, and we'll go on to board discussions. I'd like to start with Courtney.
No additional comments.
Scott Krotzer, no additional comment.
Katrina Hornung, no additional comment.
Kathy Labana, approve of staff.
Pat Richardson, no comment.
Okay, very good. Well, then, can I get a motion from a board member?
Kathy Labana, I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Brian Labrie, petition number 25-004304-COA at various locations as noted, as submitted, because the petition is in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance.
Katrina Hornung, I second.
Having a motion properly and second, I'd like to take it to vote. We'll start with Pat.
Pat Richardson, approved.
Kathy Labana, approved.
Katrina Hornung, approved.
Scott Krotzer, approved.
Courtney Bonney, approved.
Jeff Notarica, approved. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Now we go to item 25, the petition of Rowe Construction, Inc., Joseph Rowe, 25-004253-COA, 517-519 West 38th Street, window replacement.
Thank you, Jody Brown. Constructed in 1909 in the Queen Anne style, the subject building was originally constructed as a duplex. By 1950, the duplex had been converted into apartments. The building is listed as a contributing resource to the Cuyler-Brownville Historic District. The applicant proposes to replace windows on the house located at 517-519 West 38th Street. The historic windows were 2/2 double hung, and the proposed windows would be 1/1 dual-pane Victorbilt traditional series. The March 22, 2022 Google Street View shows the historic windows in place. However, it appears that all the windows, sash, and frame have been removed since that time. Staff recommends approval of the request to replace approximately 30 double-hung wood windows on the property located at 517-519 West 38th Street with the following conditions: that the windows are wood 2/2 double hung, that the simulated divided light windows have both internal and external muttons, and that the mutton is 7/8 inch or less. Thank you. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions of board members?
Courtney Bonney, we had kind of discussed some of this ahead of time. So did we find out if the applicant is here?
It is Rowe Construction. His last name is Rowe, R-O-W-E. My apologies. Apparently, he's not here.
Yeah, now I see someone. Joey Rowe.
Oh, he's here?
Hey, this is Joseph Rowe. I'm here.
Okay, sorry. Great. Okay, Mr. Rowe. Courtney, did you have a question for him?
Yes, I think we're just trying to get some clarification on the timeline of the removal of the windows and what happened with all of that.
With the removal of the windows?
Yes, sir.
I'm not following your question.
At what point were these windows removed from the building?
Oh, I'm sorry. I have no idea. I came on board with this investor a couple months ago. And when we came through the house, that's the pictures that I sent you was the way it looked when we first walked it. I have no idea how long ago it was when the windows were removed.
Okay.
Scott Krotzer, so the windows are you? We also don't know where they are.
No, they weren't on site. The place has been cleaned out. I guess the investor had come in and had the place cleaned before I came on board. And the windows are all boarded up from the exterior. And on the inside, it's basically an empty shell like the pictures depicted that I sent in.
Katrina Hornung, do you know, has the investor done any work in any of the historic districts in Savannah prior?
That I don't know. He's new to me.
Pat Richardson, is there any way we can get some historical background on this project? Well, for example, when you came aboard as opposed to the most recent picture we can get with the way it should have looked. And then a little bit more about this investor, because, you know, if he's familiar with the process, I don't understand why he's avoiding the process.
I'll say this, Pat, when we get into board discussion, I think I have an idea what we should do here. Yeah,
thank you.
I hear you. Okay, thank you very much. At this point, we'll go into board discussion and to address what Pat said. It sounds to me like we should probably defer this. We should get the investor to come in, and we should pull the timeline of when he purchased the property and establish exactly what's going on.
Thank you.
We'll do comments. So I want to start with Pat.
Pat Richardson, I have no additional comments. Thank you.
Kathy LeBina, sounds like a plan.
Katrina Hornung, I agree.
Scott Krotzer, I agree.
Courtney Bonney, I agree.
So I would like to get a petition. A motion, please. Well, I would say this. Let's go ahead and give them, let's delay it. Let's give the opportunity because one of two scenarios, this person might be an innocent victim. This person might be a perpetrator. Once we figure out the timeline of when they purchased it and we do a little bit of investigating and we hear what they have to say, we'll be able to decide how to proceed.
And maybe the person can, maybe they're in storage or something, you know.
We never know.
Okay. Scott Krotzer, I motion to continue the application for 517 through 519 West 38th Street, 25-004253-COA, to give the petitioner time and the commission time along with staff to research the project further. And continue it to, is it the October date? October 22nd, 2025.
Katrina Horner, my second.
Having a motion proper and second, I'd like to get a vote, and then we will start with Courtney.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Katrina Horner, approve.
Kathy Vidalina, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Jeff Notarica, approve. And I'd also like to ask staff if they can do that research for us and get the property owner to come for the next 22nd meeting so we can get some clarity on this. Next is a petition item number 26, the petition of Joette Jones Design 25002813 COA 628-630 West 32nd Street, rehabilitation and alterations.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the commission. This is Caitlin Chamberlain, the applicant's requesting approval for in-kind siding replacement and the addition of an alternate material, which is cellular PVC corbels around the building located at 628-630 West 32nd Street. This structure was built in 1900 and is a contributing resource. It is a rare example of a two-story wood frame duplex in an area whose dominant style is a variety of one-story bungalow housing types and is one of the few remaining contributing resources in the immediate vicinity. Project history, this was first presented at the June 25th, 2025 meeting, where it was continued to provide the applicant time to address specific concerns as noted below in the HPC decision. So that decision was, continue to allow the applicant time to address the ability to obtain a physical sample of the proposed corbels for the commission to make an informed decision on this proposed alternate material. The sample has been provided as part of the review process where the commission will have an opportunity to evaluate. So I'm going to go ahead and get that so y'all can take a look. Okay, and then second condition was to research to find more information about whether there had been corbels on the building at one time, including photographic evidence if it exists. Photographic evidence likely does not exist or is not publicly available if it does. Ghosts of former corbels on the building were not located. Three, provide additional information about the siding replacement methodologies, including any proposed insulation beneath to ensure it will not change the siding levels so it remains lower than the frames. The updated submittal packet includes more detailed photographs and an analysis about why the proposal includes replacing all of the siding on the house. The analysis is based on an inspection report from March 2025. The report calls out issues such as excessive moisture damage, structural compromise, failed joint connections, and clapboard separation. Where there had been previously a proposal to include a half-inch plywood sheathing under the siding, there is now a modification to instead use a 3/8-inch plywood to minimize the profile impact, as was brought up at the June HPC meeting. This is similar to a project that, though not in the purview of this board, just as an FYI, the Ballast Stone Inn, the wood frame building part of it, they did something similar where they replaced siding and they put a lower profile plywood underneath for that insulation. So overall, this seems, this was a pretty thorough analysis. I think the one thing staff just wanted to get a little more info on was the plan to raise the trim of the windows and doors to accommodate that little bit of a raise and to see if maybe that can be avoided with that lower profile. Aside from that, so going into the Secretary of the Interior standards, the applicant proposes to add architectural grade PVC corbels that follow the spacing of the rafters. Other examples of similar buildings were provided by the applicant showing various corbel designs. It's very common to see corbels throughout Kyler Brownville, even on one-story housing. Here's just some context. A couple streets nearby. There, on this block, there's a lot of newer construction and just smaller bungalow-style houses. These are just some examples. So on the 500 block of West 34th, which now these photos aren't coming through as clearly, but this is all West 34th. This is West 33rd. And then Hardin and West 41st and Klein Street, just for some local context. Staff research did not uncover historic photographs of this building to determine whether there had been corbels at one point. Given that it's a prevalent feature throughout the district, staff finds their inclusion is not a false sense of historical development. While it could be said that the addition of the corbels would be conjectural without definitive physical or photographic evidence on the building, the immediate local context was also taken into consideration. Per the applicant, photographic research reveals corbels were defining architectural features on vernacular Greek Revival and folk Victorian homes throughout Savannah's historic neighborhoods during the 1900 and 1920 period. The proposed simple corbel brackets provide modest decorative enhancement appropriate to working class housing traditions while offering structural expression consistent with the building's architectural character. For six deteriorated features, there are areas on the house where wood siding is badly deteriorated. The plans to replace of a southern yellow pine wood clapboard siding in the exact dimensions as the existing. As the submittal packet states, systematic siding replacement ensures uniform appearance and long-term building preservation. Inspection findings demonstrate deterioration throughout all elevations, requiring comprehensive intervention for effective building envelope restoration. Since this project was first presented in June, the applicant has provided more details from that inspection in March of this year. At that time, the overall condition of the siding on all elevations was rated as poor. The submittal packet outlines further details about the conditions that have led to bigger issues, such as the building's weather envelope being compromised, not just in isolated locations. And so overall, the deterioration is attributed to decay, splitting, and improper previous repairs. As for the alternate material, the design standards say that though certain building materials are prescribed within, the Historic Preservation Commission may approve alternative materials that are not listed as prohibited upon a showing by the applicant that the material or product is visually compatible with the historic building materials and has performed satisfactorily in the local climate. In this case, the applicant proposes to install architectural grade PVC corbels, which are not listed as a prohibited or approved material. The applicant provided detailed drawings of the corbel specifications and elevation drawings. And the physical sample has been provided. For exterior walls, the applicant proposes to replace the siding in kind with the same dimensions and has provided information about why the degradation level does not allow for repair. Photos provided in the submittal packet satisfactorily show this, as well as the evaluation from the inspection. Staff was able to field verify the siding condition just from the right-of-way perspective and found that standard was met. Though it is unclear whether there were corbels on this building, at one time they would have been wood. The ordinance does note, as mentioned, that use of alternative materials on contributing or non-contributing buildings, it's possible to consider them in this case. Preservation Brief 16, the use of substitute materials on historic building exteriors, notes that in some cases it can be appropriate to consider substitute materials. Cellular PVC is one such material that is noted as a substitution for wood and metal. And then it just kind of underneath this chart, it says that, you know, it lists materials that are sometimes used as substitutes. Even within a given category, all materials may not be equally suitable as a substitute replacement material for the actual historic material or feature. Any substitute material should be selected based on its specific physical and visual characteristics, conditions, and intended application consistent with the standards. Staff finds in this case the proposed PVC corbels, they will carry many of the physical and visual characteristics of wood corbels. Staff has evaluated the sample and finds it could be a suitable material, especially after being painted, which the applicant proposed to do should it be approved. The reason it is being proposed is for its performance characteristics and visual compatibility as per the application packet, which says the use of PVC corbels could ensure long-term architectural preservation in Savannah's changing coastal climate. All right, so with that, let me get this up here. Staff recommends to approve the request to install in-kind siding replacement, and if the commission approves the alternate material, the addition of the PVC corbels around the building at 628-630 West 32nd Street with the following conditions to be reviewed and approved by staff prior to starting the project. Because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards, one, provide clarification whether the adjustment of the window and door trim can be avoided with the use of the lower profile 3/8-inch plywood sheathing. Thank you.
Thank you. Board members, are there any questions for staff?
Capital Levine, a quick question. When were the windows replaced?
From the Google Street View, it looks like it might have happened like 2016. Let me see, because, yeah, we were talking about that. And it doesn't necessarily look like all of them have been. I just wanted the Google Street View. I don't like this. All right. I can show you, though.
Do you think that the, since while you're looking, do you think the 3/8-inch plywood is going to allow for the profile to remain the same and the trim to remain proud?
And we did see this on that building. I think it's 18 East Oglethorpe where they did. And we had walked through that building to see, and now it's done. And it looks like they were able to make that work. And that was why we had suggested that.
They used 3/8 or a quarter or 3/8. They did use 3/8.
So yeah, but if you see, okay, so that's like 2022, but I want to say.
That's 2022. So yeah, those are the windows.
All right. So back in 2016, you can see they were still kind of, they all had the same look. By 2017, the change had occurred. So it was before the ordinance, and I tried to look and see if there were any other COAs, but again, because there wouldn't have been a COA prior to 2019, nothing really came up for this site.
Scott Krotzer, just to be consistent, we're absolutely sure that all of this material has to be replaced.
I think because of the way that the bad areas are causing failure across the board, that was what, you know, we thought. Just again, I'm not going to get up on somebody's yard and get closer, but from the street and from the photos, you know, and the granted, this is a 3 years old photo as well. You can even tell, I don't know if you could tell so much here, but there's just areas where they had kind of just done some partial replacement work, and you can kind of see them in
here. I'm just worried with it being one of the only contributing left, that materiality of this is important.
And it may be that some of
it's windows and
yeah, some of it may be salvageable where it could go on the front elevation. I've seen people do that before, so that might be worth asking the applicant, you know, if they'd be amenable to something like that. Should there be something that could be done?
Kathy Ledvina, was there a discussion to replace the existing picture frame trim work with more appropriate historic trim work on the windows, which includes a sill?
We had not had that come through as part of this project, but it might be worth checking to see if, you know, that's something they'd be looking at doing in the future as maybe another phase of the project.
The time to do it is now.
Yeah,
they're replacing all the siding. Thank you.
Yep.
Just one further question, Scott Krotz over Caitlin. Were there examples of this sort of architecture without corbels?
I didn't see this specific type of building really repeated, but we have seen this on Broad Street. In fact, there's three nearly identical ones. The fenestration's a little different, but it's almost exactly the same that all have them. You know, we can't really take it super into account, because it's so far, it's not visually related or even like necessarily contextually, but still interesting. You know, the applicant had provided one of these, but if you look, there's three of them in a row that it's just, I mean, they're all built in 1900. So like it's, who knows?
With the windowsills.
Yeah, you can see it's definitely got like the bigger. And so we don't know, maybe this could have been what was there initially on that one too. And somehow, because it just looks, it looks peculiar, just that layout. So
it looks wrong.
Yeah. Did anyone have any other staff questions, or we can turn it over to the petitioner?
Any other questions, board members? Okay, hearing none, can we hear from the petitioner?
Hi, everyone. My name is Joette Jones. Thank you so much, Caitlin, for that very thorough analysis of what's happening here. I'm here for any questions.
Scott Krotzer, I just had one question following up what we talked about with the siding. Would you be amenable to salvaging enough for the front, if that's possible, out of what's there?
That would be preferred for us. We did have a more recent consult even after this was submitted. We have a consult from Your Exterior Pros, and they mentioned that to weatherize the home, you have to remove everything. And given the implementation style that's existing with the face nailing, they said that it's possible to salvage, but oftentimes the boards just destruct whenever that removal happens in order to weatherize the home. So it is the preference to salvage whatever we can and to replace what's rotted.
So yeah, just that you understand the materiality of this would be very important since it is one of the last contributing. Thank you.
Katrina Hornung, to go along with that, do you have an estimate of how many like linear feet you guys would be replacing at this point?
Oh God, I have that somewhere. I have a square footage.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Is the square footage okay?
Yeah, I'll take that.
3,500?
3,500.
Any other questions?
Kathy Levina, you'd be willing to go with a thinner plywood, as long as the profile remains of the windows remains proud of the siding.
Yes, yeah, so that's some really good advisement from the MPC about following an existing precedent that you guys were able to approve before with the Ballastone Inn, and so. No work has been done, so we want to make sure that we're just in alignment with just what's been done before, if that's was approved with the 3/8, and then the house wrap, which is basically negligible.
Okay.
Follow up. And since you are removing all the existing exterior siding to make those changes, would you be willing to implement a more traditional trim design on the primary facade?
So around the windows and doors?
To include sills versus a picture frame? Well, you saw the examples that were given with the corbels, which, you know, you want to essentially replicate that design on your primary windows, primary facade windows?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because looking at this home, there's been just a hodgepodge of changes over the years. On one side, if you look directly at the facade, it's the right side, there are sills. On the left side, we don't know what happened to them. So it would be in our best interest to like fix all of that at the same time. The windows themselves probably would not be a part of that this phase, but just fixing, you know, things that are just easily, they're up there anyway, they need to be done. So, yes.
Great. Thank you.
Any other comments from board members? Thank you very much. We have one public comment card from Collier Neely. Okay. Thank you very much. At this time, we will close this to a board discussion. Let's go ahead and start with Courtney.
No additional comments.
Scott Krotzer, if the applicant is amenable to salvaging as much as possible along with Kathy's comments, I agree.
Katrina Hornung, no further comment.
Kathy Levina, I would just say I would like maybe staff to look at the profile once the 3/8 is installed or is replicated, and then if you would just use the sill design of the existing, would be great. Thank you.
Pat Richardson, I agree with staff and the other commissioners' recommendations.
Thank you. Can I request a motion from a board member, please? Kathy.
Scott Krotzer, I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of 628 through 630 West 32nd Street, 25-002813 COA, Joette Jones Design, Rehabilitation and Alterations, with the following conditions. Number one from staff, as well as condition two, to salvage whatever exterior cladding can be and use on the front facade, as well as returning the window trim to its original configuration. Because the petition is otherwise in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance.
Pat Richardson, second.
I have a motion proffered and seconded. I'd like to go to vote. We'll start with Pat.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Kathleen Labana, approve.
Katrina Horner, approve.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Jeff Natrika, approve. Motion carries. At item 32, the petition of Solar Energy Partners, Jared Wells, 25002787 COA, 423 West 42nd Street, solar panels.
Afternoon again. This is Kelly. So the applicant is requesting to install 10 solar panels at 423 West 42nd Street. This project was heard at the June 2025 meeting, but was continued to give the applicant time to provide updated drawings. As you all may remember, the drawings were inaccurate and didn't show the rear addition accurately at that time. The applicant has provided updated drawings. They are proposing to place the solar panel onto the interior side of the historic roof form. Overall, staff did find this to be appropriate. The panels are low profile, they blend in with the roof form, et cetera. But according to the ordinance, alternative energy source devices may be permitted on historic resources, provided they are not visible from the street. And this particular elevation is visible from West 42nd Street, so a special exception will be necessary in this case. So with that, staff is recommending a continuance to give the applicant time to get that special exception request in. And we did notify the applicant this previously, but we have not heard back from them about it. So, Commissioner, have any questions?
Any questions of board members? Okay, hearing none, can we hear from the petitioner, please?
Maybe online. He was online previously. Is it Jared or Stephen or Stephen?
Yes.
Hi, can y'all hear me okay?
Yes.
Got it. Yeah, Jared Wells, Solar Energy Partners. As y'all are familiar, this particular house has changed quite a few times over the last couple of months. We were going to have everything on the rear of the home. We've moved everything over to the interior side. We are using a low profile, all black panel. That is an old picture of the roof. The roof is currently a dark gray, almost like a charcoal close to black. So it should blend in pretty well. We're using an American made racking system. Should be less than about a 2-inch elevation off of it. Going to try to keep everything as parallel and square as possible. This is a little bit pertinent in terms of the timeline. There are tax credits that are ending here in the next about 90 days or so. And we do need time to get our interconnection applications, our actual permits with the county and everything like that. So open to answer any questions anybody may have.
Any questions of board members for the petitioner?
Courtney Bonney, I'm assuming this is just how this is drawn. Raised or against the roof?
Yeah, so they'll be flush with the roof. From the roof to the top of the panel would be about a 2 to 2.25 inch raise off of the roof. And that would be including the panel itself and the racking.
Close, we've seen.
All right. Any other questions of board members? Okay. We have no public comments on this, so hearing none, we will close this and go to board discussions. Let's start with Pat.
Pat Richardson, no comment.
Kathy Levine, I agree with staff.
Katrina Horner, no comment.
Scott Krotzer, I agree with staff.
Courtney Bonney, my only thought here would be if instead of continuing the application, given the time constraints, if the special exemption request
can be a condition just to help them streamline the process. That's my only thought on that. Otherwise, I agree with staff.
Thank you. Can I get a motion from a board member, please?
Can we do that as a condition?
I believe so. Can they approve it with a condition to come back with special exception in this case? Yeah.
Okay. Scott Krotzer, I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of 423 West 42nd Street, 25-002787, Solar Panel Partners, Jared Wells, for solar panels with the condition to give the applicant time to apply for a special exemption from the standard that reads alternative energy sources devices may be permitted on contributing resources provided they are not visible from the street and do not damage or obscure any character defining features. Because the petition is otherwise in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance.
Katrina Horner, second.
Having a motion properly and seconded, I'd like to go to a vote. Let's start with Pat.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Kathy Labana, approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Jeff Natrika, approve. Motion carries. Next, we'll go to item 28, the petition of 39th Street Development, LLC, 25-000943 COA, 407 West 39th Street. Contributing demolition, new construction, small parts 1 and 2.
All right, thank you. This is Caitlin again. The applicant's requesting approval to demolish a vacant contributing resource located at 407 West 39th Street. The application also includes plans for new construction of a quadplex on the site if the demolition is approved. 407 West 39th Street was built in 1900 and is a contributing resource. It is one of three houses on this block that faces Wells Park. The building has sat vacant for several years. Project history. This was here last month, presented for the second time, and there were concerns about the condition of the interior of the building and whether it would in fact be possible to restore the building rather than demolish it. The commission decision was as follows. The Savannah Historic Preservation Commission does hereby continue the request to demolish the contributing building located at 407 West 39th Street and construct a quadplex on site to the September 24th, 2025 HPC meeting to allow the applicant time to provide interior photographs of the current conditions of the building. The applicant has provided some updated photographs showing the interior, but due to the dangerous conditions, many were taken from outside looking into the building. Some of the photos seen in this report, these were provided. I tried to just put them all in here, but they were in the attached document with titled updated photographs. Also, in the time since the last meeting, the further deteriorated condition has caused code compliance to condemn the building. I'm not going to go through the entire spiel again because we've heard this a couple times before, but staff found the same demolition criteria were met as for the proposed new construction of the quadplex. This is identical to what was approved at the neighboring lot at 403, and staff is going to have the same request that the commission put before on the design with including windows that had previously been on here and actually adding back porches. So with that, staff recommendation is to approve the request to demolish the contributing building located at 407 West 39th Street with the following conditions because the demolition criteria are met. One, if it's feasible, explore whether any building materials can be salvaged where possible. And two, document the building as per the City of Savannah's policy for documenting buildings prior to demolition, which I believe there were maybe some drawings and documentation done before it was in the condition that it's in now that they can use for that. And then to approve the request for new construction at the property at 407 West 39th Street with the following condition because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards, which is to add windows back to the front elevation and add porches on the rear elevation. Thank you.
Board members, any questions for staff? Okay, hearing none, is the petitioner here?
Good afternoon. My name is Ellen Harris with Ethos Preservation. I'm here to represent the new construction portion, but if I can answer any questions about the demolition, I will, but I'm not representing that for the applicant.
Board members, do we have any questions for the petitioner? We have none. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's go into board discussion. We'll start with Pat.
Pat Richardson, I agree with staff recommendations.
Kathy Levina, I'm against the demolition of a contributing building, especially in the Kyler Brownville district. It's obviously irreplaceable resource. Contributing buildings define the architectural style, the craftsmanship and scale that make Kyler Brownville, the district, very unique. And I think we need to preserve this contributing building.
Katrina Horning, I agree with staff recommendations.
Scott Krautzer, while I am very against demolish of a contributing building like this, especially considering it's the only one of three or now one of two on the block, I think because of the current conditions, which to me are more of a co-compliance issue, which we should not be reviewing this state of a building with modern compliance codes. It should never have been allowed to get to this state. I would ask that the material would be salvaged.
Courtney Bonney, no additional comments.
Okay. Board members, can I get a motion?
Katrina Hornung. Let's see here. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of 407 West 39th Street, 25-00943-COA, with staff recommendations 1 and 2. And approve a request for new construction at the property located at 407 West 39th. With the one staff recommendation to add back windows on the front elevation and porches on the rear elevation because the petition is otherwise in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance.
Take a second.
Pat Richardson, second.
Thank you. Having a motion proper and second, I'd like to take it to vote. We'll start with Pat.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Kathy Levina, deny.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Scott Krautzer, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Jeff Notarica, approve. Motion carries. Board members, can we entertain a 15-minute break? Are you receptive to that, Kathy? Yeah, let's take a 15-minute break, and we'll come right back. Thank you, folks. We'll come back to resume this meeting. We'll get back to item number 29, the petition of 312 West 37th, LLC, Samuel Kopelman, 25-003755-COA, 303 West 34th Street, new construction, small parts 1 and 2.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Caitlin Chamberlain. The applicant's requesting approval to construct an accessory dwelling unit at the rear of the property at 303 West 34th Street. The project was first presented at the August 27th HPC meeting where the decision was to continue the request for a few reasons. One of them was to consider design revisions that would reduce the need for two variances that had previously been requested. The project was heard the next day at the Zoning Board of Appeals meeting, and both of these variance requests were approved. Now, the second condition from this board was provide scale drawings that accurately reflect the request and show the square footage of the house and proposed ADU, because beforehand we had
just kind of like some mismatched numbers. So now we got all the information of what we needed off of the site plan and what we needed off of the drawings with the heights and the roof pitch and everything that was requested, they ended up being able to provide. The third one was provide information regarding the material and length of the garage door. So one of the things that's happened in this time is that going from one single large door to two smaller doors. They are steel doors, and they meet the standard. This just appeared to be a better configuration. Provide information regarding the pitch of the shed roof above the garage door. It is now 412 and meets the standard. The fifth condition was specify whether the wood elements of the stairs and railings will be painted or stained. The drawings now state that the wood will be painted. The sixth condition was change the material of the shed roof to standing seam metal. This has been changed, as you can see from the before and afters here. Add windows above the garage. The drawings now reflect this as well. And then resolve any issues with variance requests and the zero lot line. As mentioned in the first condition, ZBA approved the variance requests. So what that decision was, it said resolve the Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals does hereby approve the following variances in association with the construction of an accessory dwelling unit on a parcel located in the TN2 Zoning District 1 to exceed the maximum ADU footprint from 40% of the principal structure to 54%, and relief for eaves on the roof overhang setback from 3 feet to 2 feet. They had a condition, which was to install gutters to divert runoff from adjoining properties. Staff notes that the ADU as proposed is 648 square feet at 49% of the footprint of the main house, which is 1,306 square feet. The applicant was amenable to adding the gutters, and this will remain a condition on approval for the COA. So you can just to kind of show you the previous and current configurations. One of the concerns last time was also the placement of these stairs being on the side elevation. Now it's on the front elevation, which is what faces the house. So some of these adjustments have been made to reflect that as well. And with regards to the rest of the standard, staff found they were met. So with that, the recommendation is to approve the request to construct an accessory dwelling unit at the property at 303 West 34th Street, with the following condition to be reviewed and approved by staff prior to starting the project because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards, which is to revise drawings to show the inclusion of gutters to divert runoff from adjoining properties. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions of board members for staff?
Yes, Courtney, Bonnie. I'm just wanting to make sure I understood properly. So last time the stairs were, and you know, coming up to that zero lot line, so they just moved the stairs around to the interior of the building, so they're no longer. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions? Okay, hearing none, can I hear from the petitioner?
Mr. Chair,
what's
board, staff.
What's your name?
Stan Perkins.
Thank you, Stan.
Okay, for the team. So briefly, I'll go over once again. Caitlin's been a great help. Bree's always a wealth of information. So very briefly, I'll go from left to right. I believe that Mrs. Richardson and Mrs. Levina, they kind of were pushing back a little, which was fine with us on that zero lot line staircase. So, of course, we took that and relocated it to the courtyard on the interior. That satisfied that. Let's see, what was the other one? Mrs. Levina, I believe at that particular time, you mentioned that a lot of people coming before the board requesting these huge ADUs. And I agree with that 100%. We didn't want to grow it too much at all. We just wanted that garage space to be functional. It was already a small primary residence. So even though the board approved another additional 200 square feet on the building itself, we didn't do it. We just done what we thought was going to be a very functional, you know, floor plan with the garage and a livable space. I believe that day you might have had a pencil in your hand. You might have snapped it when you kind of expressed that. So, I mean, I kind of made a note right. I made a note right here. So going around, I don't believe that Katrina was there that day. I think Brian was. He made a comment about doubling those garage doors. Was that Brian, I believe? Scott just wanted to see that he just wanted to look at the floor plan, and there were no adjoining ADUs at any of the adjacent properties. And last but not least, Ms. Bonnie, she was the one that kind of mentioned that she wasn't a designer, but she mentioned adding those two windows to the lane part of the garage there, and also mentioned that putting that standing seam metal over the overhang over the garage, that little overhang there. So the team and I agreed, at least for this particular project, Ms. Bonnie, associate designer to the team, you know, if that's okay with you, based on your recommendations there. Other than I think we satisfied everything the staff wanted. I think one thing you'll find about me when I come before you is we're typically asking a very little, but we're willing to comply a lot to get there. So anyway, I'll entertain any questions this time. Thanks.
Board members, do we have any questions for our petitioner? Okay, having none, thank you very much.
I just want to say thank you for being so easy to work with, and I like the hat.
Thank you. I just want you all to know we were listening. We're listening, and we're willing to comply. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. At this time, we have no public comment cards, so we're going to close this to a board discussion. Let's go ahead and start with Pat.
Pat Richardson, no comment.
Kathy Levine, I agree with staff approval.
Katrina Horn, I agree with staff recommendation.
Scott Krotzer, I agree with staff.
Courtney Bonney, agree with staff. And again, yes, been lovely seeing all of the changes, and we appreciate all of your work.
Thank you. Can I get a motion?
Katrina Hornung, I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of 303 West 34th Street 25-003755-COA. With the one staff recommendation to revise drawings to show the inclusion of gutters to divert runoff from adjoining properties, because the petition is otherwise in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance.
Scott Krotzer, I second.
Having a motion proffered and second, I would like to call for a vote. Let's go ahead and start with Pat.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Kathy Levine, approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Jeff Notarica, approve. Motion carries. Thank you. Next, we've got 30, the petition of Ethos Preservation, Ellen Harris, 25-003988-COA, 409 West 39th Street, new construction, small parts 1 and 2, ADU.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Caitlin. The applicant's requesting approval to construct an accessory dwelling unit at the rear of the property located at 409 West 39th Street. The project also includes construction of a wooden privacy fence and gates. So it's kind of showing the area. This is right by the other properties. We had reviewed 407 today and 403 previously, so along this block here. 409 was built in 1911 and is a contributing resource. The building is on a corner lot and faces Wells Park. It is a two-story wood frame dwelling that is one of the residential structures on the 400 block. This has been the only occupied of the three buildings, and it's in a mixed-use area where there's a lot of various commercial buildings and new residential construction in the vicinity. I'll just kind of walk through the project. So this site plan here is showing the buildings, the quadplexes that have recently been approved. This is the contributing building and the ADU. Some of the elevations for, you know, it's very, very standard ADU design. This is kind of showing also it's definitely shorter than the house, the spacing and proximity. From there, you know, staff went through the review process and for the design standards, ADU standards and all that, and found everything was met. So just a quick one, the staff recommends approving the request to construct an accessory dwelling unit and install new fence and gate at the 409 West 39th Street as requested because the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. Thank you. I'll be happy to take any questions.
Board members, do we have any questions of staff? Okay, hearing none, can we hear from the petitioner, please?
Chairman, members of the board, Ellen Harris with Ethos Preservation. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have about this project.
Board members, do we have any questions for the petitioner? Okay, hearing none, thank you for coming up, Ellen.
Thank you.
We will go ahead and close this to board discussion. Let's go ahead and start with Courtney.
Courtney Bonney, no comments.
Scott Krotzer, I agree with staff.
Katrina Horning, I agree with staff.
Kathy Levina, I just want to note how good a condition 407 looks in these pictures. Just saying.
Pat Richardson, I agree with staff.
Thank you. At this point, can I get a motion from a board member?
Scott Krotzer, I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of 409 West 39th Street, 25-003988 COA, Ethos Preservation, Ellen Harris, New Construction, Small Parts 1 and 2. As submitted because the petition is in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance.
Katrina Horning, I second.
Having a motion proper and seconded, let's go ahead and go to a vote. We'll start with Pat.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Kathy Levina, approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Jeff Netrika, approve. Motion carries. Let's go to item number 31, the petition of Ethos Preservation, Ellen Harris, 25-004311 COA, 18 East 34th Street, Rehabilitation and Alterations.
Jody, your microphone.
Somebody turned the microphone off.
This is Jody Brown, Historic Department. 18 East 34th Street was constructed in 1909 in the Greek Revival style, and the building is listed as a contributing resource within the Thomas Square Streetcar Historic District. The applicant is proposing to scrape the trim of the siding to repaint both the primary and secondary structure. Any rotten siding or trim will be replaced in kind, and that's approximately 10% of the siding that needs to be replaced. The existing windows will also be restored. The roof on the secondary structure will be replaced with dimensional asphalt shingles by GAF in the color of slate, and the existing pedestrian man gate pedestrian gate at the rear of the property will be removed and replaced with a larger 24-foot rolling metal gate. The existing non-historic shed roof greenhouse on the side of the secondary structure will be removed, and the non-historic fountain will also be removed. Fountain, pool. It's questionable what it is. And additionally, an ADA ramp will be added to the exterior of the property. Staff recommends approval of the request to rehabilitate and alter the property located at 18 East 34th Street with the following condition: that the brick stair remains in place and the concrete cap can be removed from the stairs and the landing is constructed over the brick stair. Thank you. Please let me know if you have any questions.
Thank you. Board members, do we have any questions for staff? Okay, hearing none, thank you very much. Can we hear from the petitioner, please?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Ellen Harris, Ecos Preservation. We are in agreement with Jody's recommendation and are happy to accommodate. I'm happy to answer any questions that you have.
Board members, do we have any questions for the petitioner? Okay, hearing none. Thank you very much, Ellen.
Thank you.
We'll go ahead and close this to board discussion. Let's go ahead and start with Courtney.
Courtney Bonney, no comment.
Scott Krotzer, I agree with staff.
Katrina Horning, I agree with staff recommendation.
No comment. Kathy Levina.
Pat Richardson, I agree with staff.
Thank you very much. Board members, can I get a motion, please?
Katrina Hornung.
Where?
I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of 18 East 34th Street, 25-004311-COA, with the one staff recommendation that the rear brick stair remain in place and the landing is constructed over the brick stair. Because the petition is otherwise in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance.
Pat Richardson, second.
Thank you very much. Let's take this to vote. Can I start with Courtney, please?
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Katrina Hornung, approve.
Kathy Levine, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Jeff Notarica, approve. Motion carries. Thank you. We'll go to item 33, the petition of Scully Design and Construction, Braden Scully, 25004371 COA, 40 East 51st Street, contributing demolition of garage. Oh, my mistake. I'm so sorry. We'll go back one. The petition of Daniel Walters, 25004054 COA, 2229 Whitaker Street, new construction of an ADU.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'll try to be as crisp as my presentation skills allow me to be today. So here's a petition for a construction of a new one-story accessory dwelling unit at the rear of a 30 by 125 lot on 2229 Whitaker Street. And the ADU is oriented to Howard Street, which is Whitaker Lane, within the streetcar local historic district. So here we can see, I've added an image from Google Earth to like paint a picture of what the surrounding area contains in terms of the existence of ADUs. And here we can see the elevations and the plans, and addressing the base zoning and the ADU standards, according to TN2 zoning, the lot meets the minimum size in terms of width, and 60% coverage is allowed, and the proposal is 53.7%, so it's compliant. And section 8.7, that is the ADU standards, we have one ADU per lot, compliant, 3 feet side yard, and 5 feet rear yard setback because this is a north-south street, and the maximum of 25 feet height is allowed, and here it's proposed to be 20 feet, and it is subordinate to the contributing duplex. So all the zoning and ADU standards are met, and addressing the streetcar district standards and the visual compatibility, the lot meets the minimum size. The height and scale is, and the width is consistent with the other structures, and the materials that are proposed are fiber cement, stucco foundation, aluminum clad wood. We did, however, find that there was some information lacking in terms of the porch details and door details, and we have addressed that to the petitioner, and they were able to come back to us with these details and drawings, but it was after the report was drafted, so the petitioner will be presenting that to you. But otherwise, the design standards are compliant. As mentioned, minor porch and door details to be confirmed. So the staff recommends approval for the new construction of the ADU at 2229 Whitaker Street, as the proposal meets the applicable zoning ADU standards and the Streetcar Historic District Ordinance, with the following conditions to be reviewed and approved by staff prior to commencement of work. That is, to provide porch detail drawings to confirm compliance with the required post, railing, and the balustrade, basically, and to provide door materials and specifications. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Board members, any questions for staff?
Yes, Courtney Bonney. Were you guys able to verify that there's enough space between the ADU and the main house? Because I didn't see any dimensions on the site plan for that.
Now, there is, just a second. They're compliant with it. They have a separation. The porch to the proposed ADU is 10 feet.
Okay. Do we have any other questions for our staff? Okay. Thank you. Hearing none, let's see if we can hear from the petitioner, please.
Daniel Waters. I know we've got the porch there.
Yeah, I'll open this up.
Oh, yeah.
It's the one?
Yeah.
Yes. Anything you'd like to say?
The buildings, I've got a, there's a drawing in here, 10 foot from the stairs on the existing house porch to the proposed building.
Okay. Thank you. Board members, do you have any questions of the petitioner?
Yes, Katrina Hornung. So on this front elevation, these two both read as doors, but one of them is a window. Is that correct?
Yeah, the original house that we're sort of basing our design off was, we think it was a duplex. So wanted to kind of copy that style, but we're just going to fix the door.
Okay.
So at the moment.
Yeah, because it does read, yeah, it does read as a duplex, kind of looking at it.
Any other questions for the petitioner? Thank you very much. We have one public comment card from Jill Broter. Jill, are you here?
She left.
Okay. All right. So, she left. So we will go on to, close this to public comment and go into board discussions. And let's go ahead and start with, Pat.
Pat Richardson, no comment.
Kathy Labrana, I guess I need clarification about the transparency. That's something that we need to look at on the east and the south, on the elevations, the north elevation, south elevation, and east elevation.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I can answer that. I can find it. What's the question?
The transparency requirements for the first floor.
Okay, yeah. So there's two windows. One
living room. Do you know what percentage it is? I'm sorry.
The exact percentage of glass to wood. I haven't calculated that, but I think it's about 30%. You mean just of the wall structure? Oh, John Olenek. Architectural designer, I designed it. Give me use around. This is the first one, for the trolley district. I live on 33rd Street. So it's, I know the area pretty well. So I tried to mimic what the existing thing across the street from the photograph looked like back in 1905. And so I tried to duplicate that style. So that's why I decided to put two doors there. So it looks like a duplex, but the one in the bedroom will be fixed. And the windows that I'm using are pretty much exact copies of what the main house's windows have, the height and width of those windows. And to me, it looks like it matches fairly well the windows of the existing structure in the photograph. I didn't want to defer to that. I want to defer to that feel. The only thing that this is different is I see that nowadays you have to have a 30-inch height from the ground. You know, the foundation has to be 30 inches from the grade. So the, obviously the existing, structure from 1910 across the street, the, you know, their foundation, like a lot of the houses around are only about 2 feet or 1 foot six, which is a little low and would make it too humid. So that's the only difference that I saw from the original plan. I tried to be very accurate.
Okay.
And that's why the pictures of the, they also have the, you know, nice detail columns. Not columns, but the pickets, you know, the spindles for the railing. So I tried to copy that. A lot of the ones that I see in my area don't have that detail. They're just straight 2-inch wood treated, whatever. So I tried to be accurate. Thank you.
Thank you.
Also, as addressed in the report, my apologies, I had to bring this up separately, but staff finds that the transparency appears to be sufficient, purely considering the clause that says it shall be visually compatible with the contributing buildings and structures to which it is visually related, but it's also mentioned to confirm percentage at permitting. So I should have mentioned that during presentation.
So we don't know if it complies?
No, we know it complies. We don't know the exact number of the percentage.
That
yeah.
number. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Katrina Hornung. So the door that is fixed, will that have hardware or is that just visually going to be?
It will have the plate, but it won't have a handle.
Okay. Thank you.
You know, yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
Pat Richardson. How do you know it complies if you don't have at least an estimate on the number?
Because the elevation is clearly over 30%, but it's just in terms of number, we don't know if it's like, it's definitely not less than 30%.
So my question is for the north, south, and east elevations, do they need to comply?
No. Yeah. No. I've only considered for the visible side. Yeah.
Right. Well, that clearly is 30%, but I was concerned with
yeah,
the
Yeah, that was the only the side I was addressing.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay. Thank you.
Courtney, Bonnie, so were you guys able to confirm what that standard is for the distance between the ADU and the existing structure?
It is internally supposed to be 10 feet and three from the sides and five from the lane, 10 internal.
Okay.
Okay. Are there any other questions that the board has for staff?
Courtney, Bonnie, actually I have a, so given that 10 feet, the existing stair is encroaching into that space. So I think, would the petitioner be amenable to moving that stair around to the other side of the porch so that it's not encroaching into that space?
Yes, that was discussed. So it's
okay. Okay. Do we have any other questions for the board or staff? Okay. Thank you. At this point, we'll close this to public comment and we'll go into board discussion. We'll start with Pat.
Pat Richardson, I agree with staff recommendations.
Kathy Lidvina, I'm fine with the 10 feet with the stair, pushing it over an additional whatever that stair measurement is.
Katrina Hornung, no further comment. Oh, I'm sorry, were you still speaking?
Scott Crotzer, no further comment.
Courtney Brownie, I agree with staff, but I do feel like we should add another provision that staircase of the existing porch is moved out of the 10-foot encroachment area.
All right, thank you. At this point, then, can I get a motion from a board member?
Courtney Bonney, I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Daniel Walters 25-004054-COA with the following conditions, 1 and 2 by staff and an additional condition that the existing staircase on the back porch is moved out of the 10-foot separating right-of-way because the petition is otherwise in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance.
Katrina Horning, I second.
Thank you. Having a motion proper and seconded, let's go ahead and put it to vote. Let's start with Pam. Pat.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Kathy Labana, approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Jeff Notrika, approve. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Item 33, the petition of Scally Design and Construction, Braden Scally, 25-004371, COA, 40 East 51st Street, contributing demolition of garage.
Jody Brown presenting the project. The subject property at 40 East 51st Street was constructed circa 1927 and falls within the period of significance for Ardsley Park. At the east side of the property is a curb cut apron and driveway that leads to the original detached garage at the northeast corner of the property. The garage shed is a one-story building with a hip roof. The roof is sheathed with asbestos shingles, and the exterior has a mixture of horizontal wood lap siding and vertical T111 siding. There's a significant amount of deterioration that has occurred on the garage slash shed. Wood rot is present on each side of the building in multiple locations. Additionally, the roof has had numerous leaks, causing the plastic wrap that's up there to protect the interior. The primary structural deficiency lies in the condition of the concrete slab. A large crack runs through the length of the building. Repairing the slab would require the excavation and work beneath the exterior walls. Due to the poor condition of the exterior walls, they could not remain in place, hence the building would have to be demolished to repair the slab. In addition to the overall deterioration that the structure has experienced, there have been some substantial modifications. The horizontal siding on the entire west facade has been replaced with vertical T111 siding, and the south facade, which originally had the garage door, was enclosed at some point and now features a pedestrian door and a multi-pane window. Given the information presented, staff recommends approval of the demolition request to construct a structurally sound and appropriately designed replacement building at the property of 40 East 51st Street with the following conditions. Document the building as per the City of Savannah's policy for documenting buildings prior to demolition and explore whether it's feasible to deconstruct and salvage materials from the building. Thank you. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Katrina Horning, have we seen this building before, this structure?
Well, I've been here for 6 weeks, so I don't really know if you've seen this before.
Okay.
Any other questions we have of staff? Okay, thank you so much. Let's go ahead and hear from the petitioner.
This is Brent Scally with Scally Design Construct. I'm the general contractor on this job. Thank you to the staff and the board for reviewing our petition. As mentioned, there is just some really bad structural issues that kind of go beyond trying to save this. Historically, we've always tried to save contributing buildings, but this one's kind of beyond that scope. So I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Board members, do we have any questions for Braden?
Is there any plan to... Do you have any plans for a new structure?
At this point, it's just for the demolition. So we haven't, I mean, yes, there will be, but we haven't got any plans or anything like that just yet.
Okay.
It's fine.
Just curious. We can't, well, it's a conservation district, so we can't, we don't have any say anyway, but out of curiosity.
All right. Staff members, do we have any other questions for the petitioner? Okay, hearing none. Thank you very much. We have no public comments, so we'll go ahead and close this to the public portion and go into board discussion. Let's start with Courtney.
Courtney Bonney, agree with Seth.
Scott Krotzer, no comment.
Katrina Horning, I agree with staff.
Kathy LeBron, no comment.
Pat Richardson, I agree with staff. I'm real glad that, you know, we're asking them to document so they can't come back later for something totally off the wall.
Excellent. Can I get a motion from a board member, please?
Katrina Horna. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of 40 East 51st Street, 25-00-4371-COA, with the following conditions: that the building be documented as per the City of Savannah policy for documenting buildings prior to demolition, and that the petitioner explore whether it is feasible to deconstruct and salvage materials from the building. Because the petition is otherwise in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance.
Pat Richardson, second.
Having a motion proper and second, let's go to vote. Let's go ahead and start with Courtney.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Scott Crofter, approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Kathy LeBron, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Jeff Nutrico, approve. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Next on the agenda, we have the notice, proclamations, and acknowledgments, inspections completed, et cetera.
And there's no other business.
That's it?
Yeah.
Levine, so we have an update on whether or not the city even responded to our archaeological letter?
I have not heard anything. I haven't heard anything.
Do we have an update on that project at all?
They're digging.
Yeah, I think it started, but. Yeah,
they started bringing the building down. They barricaded it.
I know that. Yeah.
Park at Whitaker. Yeah.
Katrina Hornung. So they don't need, you know, us to say that we can demo it because it's not contributing, but are there any plans?
I mean, they got the COAs for the demo, but because it's non-contributing, they don't need to include the redevelopment plans with the project.
Okay.
So that's where it varies.
So we'll just hear from them when they have something for us.
So if they're demoing, they're probably not respecting the archaeology that may be underfoot.
I would assume that may be the case.
I would assume so too.
Are they not salvaging any of the decorative pieces?
The typical conditions were on those demolition approvals to salvage, deconstruct. But I think one of the challenges we have, and I know we had looked at this a while ago, and maybe it's worth revisiting. We had had a subcommittee going for a little bit about, you know, we don't have it in the ordinance. So that's one of the challenges is, like, we can recommend and advise, like, you know, please look into this, whether it's feasible, but because it's not in the ordinance to deconstruct, we can't force them to do it.
Is there something that can be done to reinvigorate that ordinance pursual?
I think, you know, if we either wanted to resurrect the subcommittee to kind of look into it, I mean, we had started looking into other jurisdictions of where it does exist.
My understanding, the city wasn't interested because it was a grassroots movement and not something that was brought up by the city, or that's at least what my understanding was. So I didn't know if we could team with Jessica in some way to actually get that revisited.
Yeah, and maybe it's just as simple as starting a conversation and seeing where we can go from there.
Okay, thank you.
I'd like to take this time to thank the staff and board for helping us get through a very long agenda today in a very fast fashion. And thank you. We're going to go ahead and adjourn.